Nice. What a way to start the morning, dedicating a baby. We just got done on Wednesday. We had the baptism, and then we dedicated a baby, which I'm super excited about. That is the perfect way to come into the teaching and be like, where did I go from here? You know? But I saw somebody teach down here. I think Randy did, and then Daniel did, and I was like, why have I never done this? All the years of teaching youth, I was always on this side and sat here. I'm like, dude, I like being down here way better. And if you can't see me, I'm tall. You might need glasses, man. Not trying to be rude, but but like I said, we had the baptism. Amazing. If you weren't here, God moved so powerfully. We saw lives changed, and you could just feel it in the air. You know, they started off and made everyone cry by having the Carillon kids go, and it's like, my gosh, like, you know, I cry all the time, but like, you look around and I'm like, okay, everyone else has got tears, it's okay. Like, it's just not me being me, which is perfectly fine. But then we get to have this baby dedication, and then I get to teach. I get to teach a second part. I taught like a month ago and said, there's going to be a second part, and then I had to figure it out, right? but for real, it was about, I think it was end of April. I taught April 30th or something like that. And I taught on hope, and I taught on the big thing about it, and I'll give, a refresher because it's been so long. But the big thing about it was that God wants us to dream. God wants us to have hope for a future. And, you know, the way that so many times the devil derails the dreams and calls of God in our life is that he takes that hope. He takes that there's a potential that good's going to come out of this. And another thing he does is he attacks our view on God. And he attacks that God's not a good God. And so we went over that. And then the other part of that message, in which we have it on our podcast, you can go find it. But that God not only wants us to dream and have hope, but he wants us to dream big. And so what that looks like is there's no limits. If I look through the Bible, I never saw Jesus go, you know, I would like to reach 10,000, but I'm only going to reach 200 because I just can't get there, right? And so I never see it limited on God's end of what he can do. And anytime someone pursues God and believes in God and has hope in a dream and is following the calling of God on their life, God moves in powerful ways beyond what they can comprehend, right? Beyond the numbers that we have or whatnot. And so that was just a powerful thing. God spoke to me in that message, really, that the way I perceive the world around me is what the vision, like the glasses I'm looking through. I put on some, I was one day trying on glasses and put on these, you know, the safety glasses with the orange. I was like, what is going on here? Like, everything, you know, is orange. I drove, like, driving one day, same thing happened. I said, man, it's so bright out here. Does somebody have glasses? Hand me these orange things. That makes it worse. Like, I was like, I'm getting sick from these glasses. They're supposed to help me. And so, and then, like, randomly we'll find a pair of glasses at work, and I'm like, let me try these on, and they're prescription glasses. And let me tell you, I don't know whose glasses those were that I tried on last, but I feel like I could see into the future. They were so strong, right? Like, I was like, oh my gosh, like, I had them out to here, and I like, oh man, it gave me a headache. And so, but the way what we have over our eyes dictates what we see, right? And so the thing I'm looking through, the lens I'm looking through. And so constantly what I want to do is I want to realign myself with the dreams, visions, and callings of God with hope and the view that God's a good God and he wants to accomplish these things, right? And so I have, you know, I touched on it that I have family members that I want God to touch. I have family members that I want God to move powerfully in their life. I want to see them come back and serve him again. And if I look at the reality of the situation around that individual, it's not going to happen. But then if I remember the calls and destinies that they have on their life, and I look through the vision that God's a good God and that he has great things in store for all his children, then it becomes way more possible. And so that's where I think that phrase of God's the God of the impossible, because with him, when you look through the view of God, it's not impossible, right? It's just another way that he's going to show his greatness and glory and just say he's a good God. And so having hope is a key foundation. If I were to, and I was actually reading over this, I've adjusted, like, I've learned how to adjust my teaching styles. I've had to grow from teaching youth, which you just keep their attention and harass them constantly. Like, hey, man, you fell asleep. Stand up. Go stand in the corner, you know. Can't do that as much. So constantly moving and growing. And so what they taught on is, like, to have certain points, be specific. And so this might even turn into a third part. There might be a third part to this. I don't know. Because something I felt like God's moving, especially he's done all this first part of this year with me, is he's been really teaching me about this aspect of how he loves people. And so the topic today, I guess if it were the topic over these past two teachings and maybe a third one, it's one of the most powerful things that I've seen God move and use. It's a tool. It's something that I've seen God use to put things into motion, and that I've seen take people who are completely against what God's doing, hard-hearted, and he's turned them to be a person who loves God with all they have. It's really what it is. It's a bridge to bring people home. I think that that's a key, is that God wants to bring people home, so we keep that bridge up. And this is a way to do it. When we use it, it really is a tool to change the world around us. And so through this, I think it's probably my favorite and most valuable communication tool. But it's hard. And what this thing is it's called an art of encouragement. It's a communication tool, but if I were to define it down to one thing, it'd be encouragement and how we encourage people. We use our words. When I was praying about it, God said that he used the words he spoke to form the world, to shape the heavens, and to do all these things. You know, Adam called out creation and naming, and he used his words to do all this. And I found myself before, like, God kind of spoke to me this end of this last year, is I was using these words not in that. I didn't value the power of the words that I spoke. And so where it started is I had to figure out, hey, you know, where's this root? It's because I just didn't have hope anymore that God could move. And I lost the vision that God was a good God, and that his plans and destinies and callings on people, that he's a good God and wants to see those fulfilled. And so as I was reading that and I was hearing God speak about the power of encouragement, I realized I like looking up the definition of something. And so what I did is I went in and looked up the definition, and it says the action of giving someone support, confidence, and hope. And so I touched on, you know, last time I taught on hope, and this time what I really feel like God's saying is to pursue that support. And maybe there'll be a third one on confidence. I don't know, but I can look back on my life and I just came out of a season, actually, where at work I had all the knowledge, I had the skills, I knew what I was doing. I was very good at my job, but through difference, and it's nothing against this individual, but through working under this individual, I did not have the support to get it done, right? And so it was an extremely frustrating point in my life. It was extreme because I knew what needed to be done. I knew how to talk to people, but I just didn't understand why it wasn't there. And so I started pursuing God, and he just started speaking to me the power, not only of encouragement, but showing people support. And I, like, looked over my life and started realizing that us using our voice, we're called to not speak what we see, but we're called to speak what God's called us, what God's called them to be, right? And so I don't sit here and go, Eli has red hair and he's sitting on the second row. But I go, you know, Eli's a great man of God. God's raising him up to lead people to Christ. He's going to use him in powerful ways. And I truly believe that God has great things intended for him. And what have I done? I've just raised him up, right? I didn't push him down. Now, if you know me, like at games and stuff, I'm a smack talker. I have been known to dabble in the art of trash talking quite often, and I love it. But on many occasions, actually, I've actually had conversations later. Hey, man, might have gone too far with that. I don't think you stink at this game, and I think you're actually a really good person. You know, and so I have to, like, I do it out of this relationship aspect, but through the years of, I'm 31, through the years of my life, I have honed that skill to where it's not insulting now. So if you've been insulted by me, I apologize. If you're hearing this on the podcast, I apologize. I was not nice sometimes. I apologize for that. And so, but what we do is, so my, for the last couple months, first part of this year, My goal has been, I want to encourage people. And I've actually been doing it at work. Like I said, we came out of the guys I worked with. It's hard to explain, but it was not a healthy work environment due to a certain individual that was over us. It just wasn't healthy. And so through that, we're all in the midst of this. And so I started realizing that, one, my voice matters, and two, how I portray and speak to these people will shift the world that they operate in just as much, right? And so I started believing that my words had more powerful than effect than negativity that was happening. And so I just started encouraging these guys. Hey, man, you're doing a great job. I started there. And this has been something in my life that I've kind of like always enjoyed. I love telling people, hey, man, you got this, dude. Like, you can do this. If God's called you to this, go for it. Like, I enjoy that. And so, but I started doing that with those guys at work, right? And I started just speaking into them. And the last probably month and a half, I've started texting them just encouragements. And I sent this one to the three people I work with consistently, telling them how much I value what they do and how when I work with them, I enjoy it. It's fun to be around them. I enjoy coming into work. Just really spoke what I already believed about them. I just said it out loud. And the response I got was incredible. And it wasn't because, y'all know me, it wasn't because I'm the best communicator. My wife can verify that. Sometimes I'm not the best communicator. Just happens, right? But I started getting these texts about, from this one individual. He's like, I was looking for other jobs he's a faith-filled guy too, which is kind of rare in our job. But he said, then I got placed here and I hate leaving work. I like, for real, he'll stay like 20 minutes after time. I'm like, dude, like, it's time to go home. Like, let's go. And he'll stay there because he enjoys it so much. We'll stay up laughing about different things that happen. We'll just interact, and we text. And he actually, this morning, he sent me a picture. He sends me funny things. Like, he sent me a picture of this NFL player, and they took his picture for the team photo, and they cut it off, and all you see is his eyes. And he texted me, man, they did him dirty with this. Like, he's constantly sending me funny stuff like that. But he said that there was a definite change. Like, he was looking at other jobs. He was leaving. He had talked with his wife and decided to leave, and he got moved over with us. And the change in him, he's loving it. He's thriving. He's doing so well. And where it boils down to is that he's found someone who values him, right, and supports him. He just took a test. He's a good friend of mine now. And I've only been around him for like 6-7 months. And he just took a test, and all day going up to it all the past couple weeks, we're like, dude, you got this. You can do it. Encouraging him, helping him, training him. and he passed with flying colors. And it was just, I'm so proud of that guy. But God really spoke to me about the power of supporting people and speaking. If you look through the Bible, we'll read a few passages. But I looked up just encouragement. And it says in Thessalonians 5:11, it says, therefore, encourage one another, build each other up, just as, in fact, they were doing at the time, right? He got to that, and they were encouraging each other. And this one, Ephesians 4:29, don't let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs. And it just, if you look through the Bible, it goes on and on and on. We're called to build each other up. And we're called to believe the best in each other. And I don't think it was just by happenstance that we had the baptism, that we've had the baby dedication. As I'm coming up here, actually, Chris is like, dude, you got this. You're going to crush it, man. Good job. And he also said, call out Eli if he's, like, falling asleep. I wasn't going to say that, but, you know, might as well bring it up. But just I felt from that moment, from him speaking that, I felt something, right? And so we're called to do this. We're called to bring that about. And so, no, it's perfectly fine. I'm used to youth, and like I'll see the glow and they'll be on their Facebook and I'll be like, hey man, you shut it down. But no, it's perfectly fine. But so I started praying. I really felt like support was the key point today. And through my life, when people have stepped in and said, hey man, you got this and I got your back, let me tell you, I can do way more. I feel the confidence to do so much more when I feel that, right? And so what I wrote under support is when we choose to come in agreement with what God says about someone and support them in that, we raise up powerful people. Let me tell you, with my boys, I'm not going to tell them all the stuff. Like, I tell them what they can't do. Don't touch that burner. Don't jump in the fire, stuff like that. But when they're talking about stuff they want to do, like they want to accomplish, or like what they want to do growing up, or they're like, I want to be a dinosaur. All right, man. So we get a little costume, and he's a dinosaur for a little bit, right? I don't want to crush dreams. I don't want to. If God's put something on their heart from a young age, I want to encourage that. I want to be a dad who encouraged his son to do well, to be successful. I don't want to put limitations on them, right? I want, if Dawson comes to me and says, I want to own my own business, go for it, man. I won't be looking up, reading up, and studying how to run businesses, and because I want to be part of his success. I want to push him. I want to grow him, right? My sons, I got some workout equipment out in the garage, and they come out every now and then, and they're like, dad, and so they want to do a pull-up, so, you know, it's 95% assisted, right? Like, you know, I got that going on, but they get down and go tell mama they won, and I'm like, yeah, you won something, you won, dude, you know, and so I want to do that. I want to raise my kids to be powerful people, and where that starts is with the language in which I interact with them. And so I want to encourage them. I want them to feel supported. And so Dawson wanted to play baseball this last year. Let's go for it. He laid out in the field most of the time. Dude, do it. He'd have, you know, third inning bathroom breaks, come running off the field, and we'd run to the bathroom and run right back, you know. He'd drink his little Gatorades and stuff. And that was perfect. That was exactly what I was supposed to do with that, right? Because I believe in him. I believe that by me playing a part in his life, he's going to be better for it, right? I'm raising up powerful men. And in order to raise up powerful men, I teach them how you act. They watch me. You know, there's a song that a country singer says, his son says he's been watching him. Gets me every time because I'm like, that guy is watching me. Because my youngest was acting. I do something, mess around with them. My youngest did the other day. I'm like, ooh, hey, man, that was a little sassy. dad is bad, dad is bad, you know. And so, but I want to support them. And so as I look in, as I look into the body, I think that's exactly where we're supposed to be. You know, if y'all have dreams and visions for your lives, I want to encourage you in that. And so, but in order to do that, I've got to have hope and belief that God's good and have to believe the dreams of my life, right? That's why the first one's so powerful, is that we got to believe in ourselves so we can believe in other people. And so if I believe that I'm never going to be enough for God, how am I supposed to believe that God's got more than enough for someone else? And so where that dynamic is we've got to be a place to where we encourage and empower people. There's people who are going to be raised up in this place who are going to be way better speakers than me, and that is perfectly fine. My son might get up and be a teacher who blows everyone out of water. Awesome. I want that. I want people to be better than me, right? Because I want to encourage them to their dreams. And so I've actually, you know, in talking about encouragement, I actually shared this story last time I taught. But I did a half marathon. I tell everyone the stories about it. I almost died out there, but I survived and I made it through, right? Train. That's, I guess you got to train for those types of things, I found out. I did not. And survival was key, and I made it. I watched a lot of elderly women who trained run right past me. Humbling. Slightly humbling. But I made it. I made it. But something God spoke to me, and this was right around the same time that God's been speaking to me about encouragement and just this mind shift and just culture that I want about myself, this atmosphere I want when I walk in, that's who I am. This idea of encouragement, let me tell you, that was one of the most powerful things I've ever experienced out there. There was thousands of people telling me I could do it. Thousands of people out there. They've spent crazy amounts of money. They were handing out these things that are like $2 a piece, like mints. I mean, they're just giving them out to everyone who runs by. I'm like, there is a lot. Like, I looked at one point, tried to see. I was in the back, obviously, because that's where I started. And I was looking at the front, and I'm like, dude, like, it took us 4 minutes to get to the front of the line, right, to cross the start line. And the whole time they're handing out these things and they're spending money. They're telling us there's churches out there giving out orange slices. I do not eat orange, but let me tell you, that orange went in my body. It tasted amazing. And I got through with it. And they were giving out these things and they were just telling us we could do it. And they were telling us how much more we had left. And they were just constantly, for 2.5 hours, I had people telling me I could accomplish this. And then you see people cross the line just sobbing. You see people, I crossed the line, I did not sob, I just found the nearest bathroom, if I'm being honest, sobbing. And God, let me tell you, God spoke to me more at that point about what encouragement does. It raises people up. Let me tell you, there's probably some people out there that would have gave up. There's some people out there that would have seen, they would have got to a certain point and they would have mentally gone, this is hard, I don't want to do it anymore. And they would just quit. But because of these people beside them, like, you just got this added something, right? I said this last time, I had only ran up to 7 miles and it's 13 miles. Mistake number one, right? But I got out there and I was able to run the rest of the race, not because of my training and just grit, but because people were around me cheering me on, right? They were telling me I could do it. And I was able to accomplish something that I probably wouldn't have been able to accomplish without my people around me. And what's one of the most powerful things, I'll probably never see these people again. Like, a 10-second to 5-second me passing them, telling me they could do it or handing me something. And through that, that's the only encounter I'll probably have the rest of my life with that person. And they chose to spend it telling me I could do something, to give me something to accomplish what I wanted to accomplish. Not only that, but they believed in me. You know, they were like, you can do this, you can do it. And sometimes you say that and you look at the person, maybe not, but I'm going to speak it. Right? That's part of that speaking, I watched some people say, I can do, a guy at work said, I can do 75 push-ups straight through. I'm like, I don't believe it, but go for it, man. If you can do it, he could not. But I believed him the whole way, guys. I believed him the whole way. I also had another experience. I did this workout at my gym. Me and Ricardo together, we almost died, but we made it. But we did this workout, and so I'm struggling. And this is right around the same time frame that God's speaking to me about encouraging and support. I'm struggling. I'm failing reps. I'm not able to do it. And I hear someone yell, "You got this, Tyler." And then they just went, told me, "Hey, do this." And I just adjusted something. I was able to do it after that. They gave me a little piece of advice, and I was able to get through it with their encouragement. And so I think sometimes I was praying about why we don't operate in this all the time, right? I was praying about it, and I felt like there's really three lies that keep us back. One, I felt like God spoke. He said, isolation is a killer. So many times you think you can do it by yourself, right? You think that, you know, I see these motivational videos that say, I don't need anybody but me. I'm like, man, like, that sounds miserable, right? And it's I sat there and thought about it, and God was speaking to me about it. Isolation is like one of the most common forms of punishment, right? When you think about it, isolation, people sent, like, let's just say prison. They're in prison. If they do something bad, they go by themselves for a period of time, right? It's a form of punishment. What do you do if your kid does something? Go stand in the corner by yourself for 5 minutes, right? And so commonly what happens is we go, well, you know, it doesn't matter if I don't do this. It doesn't matter if I'm not involved. It doesn't matter if I don't go to this event, and I'm not the one that's saying you have to be here every time the door's open. I'm just saying when you aren't here, there's a difference, right? And not just a difference here, but a difference in you. Because I don't know how many times I've gone, I don't want to go to this event, really. It's a great event. I'm just tired. And then God tells me to go. So I'm like, all right, we'll go. And God encounters me so powerfully. There's been so many, probably more life-changing events in situations like that than anything in my life. And so isolation, if you isolate yourself, I'm telling you that, like, we need each other. I need people. I need y'all, right? I'm a person who enjoys being by myself, but let me tell you, only for a period of time, because I enjoy being around each other, and I like hearing people. Ricardo and Mary, after I get done with the workout, did not do good. They're like, dude, good job, and they encouraged me, and like I was like, yeah, I did do a good job, you know? And so that's number one, is we believe that isolation is okay. When we're called to be around each other, we're called to encourage each other. We're called to be a part of each other's lives, because I want to be in y'all's lives. I want to know what's happening with family. I want to know what's going on. I want to be a part. Y'all are my family, really. Y'all are, I've known most of y'all for a long period of time. Like, I've been here, I think, 17, 16 years. So I've known y'all a long time. And so y'all are my family, so I want to be around you. And when I'm around you, I feel that encouragement. And so another thing is, and I touched on it a little bit, is the lie that my voice doesn't matter. And so many times, it doesn't matter if I tell them they did a good job. Everyone's telling them this. Everyone's telling them that they're doing a great job raising their kid. Everyone's telling them that they sounded amazing on the guitar today, James. My buddy over there. But you feel like everyone's telling them this. And let me tell you, it's the same thing. I saw this document, not a documentation. Can't remember. It was a study. This person, the bigger the crowd, the less likely somebody's going to do something. There was somebody who got assaulted with hundreds of people around, and everyone assumed everyone else did something, called 911 or whatnot. And no one called for like an hour or 30 minutes, and the person ended up dying. Sad story. But the reality is, so many times in my life, people are like, I know you hear this all the time, but this. I've never heard that before, right? Like, they'll be like, I know you hear this all the time, but you're doing a great job with your sons. Dude, like, accept, yes. Like, I love hearing that, like, because I don't hear it that often. And don't, like, bombard me with telling me I'm doing a good job with my sons. I'm not begging here, okay? But, and that's just so much need. Your voice is valuable. Like I said, God created things with your voice. And so by us using our voice to encourage each other and tell each other, hey, you're doing a great job. You're doing amazing. I enjoyed being around you today. You did so good. Or, you know, I got to talk to some people today that I haven't gotten to talk to in a while. Dude, that was so much fun, catching up, hearing their voice. And so, but their voice doesn't matter. And then there's the last one is, I guess, really just that there's a lot of pain attached to stepping out and speaking to people. Let me tell you, there's been some times I've talked to people and the response was not great. It was very hurtful. You know, I felt like I was encouraging, but they received it not as much. And so to me, I can speak for myself. There's a lot of pain associated with that. And so it's hard sometimes to speak to people and tell them, hey, you're doing this great. Or, hey, I enjoyed seeing you today. But you know what? I believe that God's good. I'm speaking what I believe. And so the product of me speaking in someone's life and telling them that they're amazing is worth the risk, right? If we choose not to take any risk in life, you're going to have a boring life, man. Let me tell you that. Like, there's been a lot of times I've stepped into more risk in the last probably 10 years than I did the first 20. Because I was very conservative. I did not risk anything. And in the last 10 years, I continually feeling like God's telling me, hey, do this, hey, do this, hey, do this. And it is so far outside my comfort zone. My comfort zone is sitting in my comfort zone and never doing anything, right? Like, I'd much rather, hey, there's a recliner. Let me sit down and do nothing, right? But I know that God's called me to make a difference. And so by knowing that, I know that when I speak, something happens. When I interact with people, there's change. And so if I value myself and believe in the dreams and callings that I have, then I can believe in other people's even more. And so I believe that that has impact. And something, this isn't really even the lie. It's just I felt like that so much of the time it's encouraged to have a negative mindset when it comes to stuff. Like, oh, they'll never get over that. Well, man, I don't know how many times at work somebody will say something, I'll be like, whoa, man, don't say that over me. I don't want that. Like, I'm going to be just fine. Like, and so, like, I don't, and this is something I've had to deal with a long time. I don't want to have that negativity. Like, to live in negativity is choosing to just, like, drink poison. There's no benefit of it, right? I'm sitting here, well, they'll always be like that. Oh, man, come on now. Like, believe. Like, we use our words to make a difference. And so if I'm speaking, they're either building or tearing down. And so it's our choice. We get the option to choose what they do, right? And so I just really feel like that's a key point, especially where we're going as a church. I think encouragement and believing in what God's done in our lives and calling us to do, I want to get right beside you and push you to that, right? I want to be the person that is screaming your name that you can do it. You're like, Tyler, I'm going to run a 5K. Dude, I'm going to either be there or I'm going to be sending you text messages. You know what I mean? I want to push you to that. I want to push you to your dreams. I want to see, because as I do that, we raise powerful people, right? And so we build people to be powerful people that operate with God in relationship. And what happens is powerful people impact the culture around them. As we push people, as we encourage people and support people to believe in themselves, we're able to impact culture around us. And so I truly believe that this is something us as a body, we're going, like, I believe that this could be like a foundation of encouragement. I want that culture, because where encouragement is a culture of encouragement, people thrive. And that's what I want for y'all. I want y'all doing amazing. I want y'all coming to me all the time telling me your success stories. That's what I would love to hear, right? And yes, I want to hear about the stuff going on in your life. I want to pray for stuff. But also, I believe that there's going to be a point where we're like, guys, we just have too many testimonies. Like, we don't know what to do with these. We're going to have to, like, get a website or something. There's just so many of them, right? And so I believe that God's going to impact y'all in this. And so if you look at your life right now and you see those kind of lies that you not being somewhere is okay, it doesn't matter. You speaking out, it doesn't change anything if you use your voice or you say this to somebody. Or even if there's been past pain of you stepping out and getting crushed, because that's happened. I would like for us to do is we're going to have some prayer teams up here. I just want to pray for y'all. I just want us to pray over you, over those lies and things in your lives. And so I wrote down, because I always like giving homework, right? So I said, that's classwork. I put in there, classwork, get prayed for, you know. And homework, I want y'all to sit down. I want you to sit down with God. One, make sure that you and him are in line with your dreams. And make sure that your view of him is with the direction that he's called you. Like, that he's a good God, that he has great things for you. And two, I want you to sit down and see, God, how can I encourage? How can I start walking this calling of operating this art of encouragement? It really is an art form. It's like a dance, right? And I want to impact people. I want to tell them they can do great. I want when I think about encouragement, I just thought of Brian. He's marrying Ricardo's son. He's my brother-in-law. Whoop, whoop. One of my best friends. And we were doing the same workout. And he's like, could have done 2 minutes better. I said, dude, you cut my time in half. Like, you did amazing, man. And so he'd be like, oh, man. And so, like, getting to just be like, no, man, like, you're doing great. Like, you're amazing at this, gifted. So getting to do that, let me tell you that, oh, man. Once you start operating in this, we're going to be like overflowing with encouragement, right? Because it's what like feeds. So it's like operating with God. It's me going, God, I choose to believe not just what you called me to be, but what you called them to be. And I'm going to be right there with them, right? And so I'm going to pray for us real quick, and then we're going to have prayer teams up here for anybody who wants to get prayer. So dear God, I thank you for this amazing group of people I get to serve with and just encounter, Lord. I just encourage these guys, one, to have confidence, two, to have hope for a future, and three, to just support everyone around them, Lord. We just believe that you've called us to not only believe in ourselves, but believe in others. And we believe that the culture of empowerment and encouragement, people thrive in. And people have success stories, Lord. And so today, I just ask that you just step in. Amen. Thank you all, guys. Pastor Allen, do you want to?
Okay, let's all stand up. One thing I forgot to announce, there's no family night for the next 2 weeks. We're building for in 3 weeks, it starts back up. So this Wednesday night, no family night. And so, guys, that was encouraging, wasn't it? I think we can all learn to listen. Like, I was listening. I go, okay, Lord, I got it. Did you get it? We're the ones. We're the voice of God in the world today. Jesus is sitting at the right hand of the Father, and he left us here. So that's why I'm so excited about what y'all are helping with the children. Your life matters, and it matters what you're doing here today. So this morning, we have prayer teams up here. We want to pray with you. Listen to Tyler's message again if you need to, and take notes, because we need your voice. Jesus needs your voice in the world. Amen? So God bless you guys. Thank you for coming. Have a great Sunday.